10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 tonight. Now, I want you to pay attention tonight as I bring you a message I feel like the Lord gave me this week. And as I said this morning, it's a very special message. And I bring you this message tonight with a heavy, heavy burden on my heart. You ain't supposed to say you're worried, so I'm going to say I'm concerned about our country tonight. Amen. The direction we're going.
Amen.
About our world. I'm burdened, put it that way. And if I wasn't so spiritual, I'd say I'm worried. But it's bad. It's bad. So tonight, I want to preach on God's time clock. God's time clock. Exactly where are we on God's calendar? Where are we on God's clock? We'll look at a verse of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This verse has been overlooked by most Bible teachers and religious leaders, and because it's been overlooked, is why we have so many different teachings, denominations, cults, and everything. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's dealing with eating things and not eating things and stuff like that, about your conscience and what's right to eat and what's not right to eat. But verse 32 is the verse I want to deal with tonight. And verse 32 said, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Now you want to mark that verse. That's one of the most important doctrinal verses in the whole New Testament. Because that verse divides up the three groups of people in the world. Jews, Gentile, and church. Everyone in the world is a Jew or a Gentile, or they're in the church of God. Church of God. And so the Bible talks about these three groups. Now, I want to preach on God's time clock. Every word and verse in the Bible is written to one of those three groups. We're going to look at all three of them tonight, doctrinally and practically. So you'll give me attention. This is maybe the most important message some of you have heard in a good while. So you listen carefully tonight, and I wish this could be preached all over the country. But the people don't want what you're going to hear tonight. The Bible said in the last days, they'd have itching ears. They'd turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. We're living in a day when the most successful preachers in America are the ones that smile the entire time they're preaching. How in the world you can say, "As serious as God, I hate you going to hell." You cannot smile about everything. But brother, we're living in a time when people say, "Don't tell me the truth, just make me feel good. Tickle me, tickle me. Make me feel good, preacher. Don't upset me with the facts. Just let me sleep on and enjoy my life." And so tonight, I'm going to talk about that. The three groups in the Bible, Jew, Gentile, and church. You say, "What's the difference?" I'm going to show you that tonight, and then I'm going to deal with each one of these groups. Now, I heard a man say one time, got up in church, and he meant well, but he stood up and said, "I believe God said every word in there to me." Now, the truth is tonight, God didn't say every word in there to you. Every word in the Bible is not to me. Every word in the Bible is for me. But every word in the Bible is not to me. For example, there's verses in the Bible that tell people to kill animals and sacrifice them. Have you done that lately? That verse is not to us. That verse would be to Jews. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "The wicked will be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." That verse is not to us. We're in the church. That verse is to Gentiles. And there's a verse in the Bible that said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No man can pluck you out of my hand." That verse is not to Jew or Gentile. That's to the church, or to us in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, verses like that. So tonight, you've got to get your division. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to get those three divisions right. And let me tell you how you'll never come out believing false doctrine. You'll never believe false doctrine if you read a verse in its context, and you don't add one word to the verse, and you don't take one word from the verse. Give an example. John chapter 3, where the Lord said that which is born of water and the Spirit. You've got to be born of water and the Spirit. You know what? A Camelite, we call him, Church of Christ will do there. He'll add the word baptism in that verse. It doesn't say baptism. You say, well, it says water. It don't say baptism. It says water. You've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Your first birth is water. Your second birth is Spirit. You say, how do you know that's what it means? Because the next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And the context is entering into your mother's womb the second time. You've got to leave. Listen, if you come here to this church, I promise you, you're going to get one thing. You're going to get this book exactly as it's written. We're not changing one word of it. We're not making up our mind what we believe ahead of time and then twisting the Bible to fit our beliefs. We're going to twist our beliefs to fit the book. And if it hair lifts our grandma and every one of it, that's what we're going to believe in. Does that sound all right to y'all? That's the way it's going to go, brother. That's just the way the snow drifts here at Shining Light. I'm telling you tonight, you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong by just taking the King James Bible as it stands in the context and letting, brother, the chips just fall where they will. And that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. And you're very blessed. We're very blessed to have a church that believes that. Most churches in this county don't even believe that. They believe that, well, that one verse says they'll take away their part out of the tree off the tree of life, now the book of life, but it really don't mean that. And it said he that shall endure to the end, but it really means if you really save, you will endure to the end. They twist all them verses to fit what they believe. You know what we do? We rightly divide it, put it in its right doctrinal heading, and then just let it say whatever it wants to say. And just stand on it and believe it. Now tonight, I want to talk about these three groups tonight on God's time clock. Number one, the Jews. Who's the Bible talks about when he talks about the Jews? You do understand tonight that the Jews are the most amazing group of people physically on this planet. You understand tonight that they are the direct descendants of Abraham and Sarah. That Jewish people can trace back their ancestry all the way to Abraham. Nobody else can do that. There's not a Japanese man nowhere to trace his ancestry back. There's not a Chinese man or an Englishman or a British man. None of us can trace our ancestry all the way back to the very first Englishman or whatever. But Orthodox Jews can, all the way back to Abraham. They are not the descendants of Hagar. That's the Muslims we'll talk about in a minute. They are the descendants of Abraham and Sarah. Now, have you ever met a Hittite? Anybody met a Hittite lately? Or a Philistine? You say, well, I've seen a man in New York and he's a Philistine. You don't know no Philistines. You don't know Assyrians. There ain't none. You don't know any Babylonians. You've probably met some Hittites, but they don't go by that name no more. But I'm telling you, Jews go all the way back to that very first one, Abraham. They asked a man one time, they said, how do you know the Bible's true? He said, I can prove the Bible's true in one word. And they said, what's that? He said, Jew. He said, there's no way that a nation could survive what they went through and still exist today had not God's hand be upon them. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you tonight and saying that Jews, the Jewish nation, is God Almighty's earthly chosen people. They always have been. They are God's chosen people tonight. And the reason we have so much confusion in Washington and the UN is because most members of the UN don't believe that. They want to side against Israel with all them countries around them. You know, you got Israel like this. You got all them countries all around them. Every one of them's got their guns turned right on them. And you know why they hate us, United States? It's because we've always sided with Israel. Do you know why we've always sided with Israel? Because God said in the Bible that if you'll bless them, God said it'd bless us. And we've always had a president that believed. president that don't believe that. Ed McAbee said we sign our spiritual death warrant when we take sides against them Jews. We can't do it. Our president's got to understand, you've got to stand with Israel. We've got to stand with Israel. Amen, brother. I know, listen, and this needs to be on every CBS, NBC, Fox, and listen, if we take a stand against Israel, we're dead, brother, spiritually. I'm telling you tonight, God said, I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. They rejected the Savior. I understand that, but they are still God's earthly chosen people. Ladies and gentlemen, they were killed by the millions. Then back in the old wars of Israel, they had to wear badges of shame. They were taxed, excluded from schools. They couldn't own land. They reaped what they sowed. Because when Jesus was here, they rejected him. And they said, his blood be on us and on our children. And God said, I hate to do that, but that's exactly what happened. So God temporarily has pulled back from Jews, dealing with Gentiles. We'll get to that in a minute. And now we're the Lord's bride-to-be. The church is the Lord's virgin bride to be presented. We're a espoused bride of Christ. Go to him. Israel is God's wife that he put away for her whoredoms back in the Old Testament. But she will be restored one day and at the end of the great tribulation. Listen, do you realize tonight that there was no nation of Israel until 1948? Y'all realize tonight there was no nation of Israel for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years until 1948 against all odds, against amazing odds. The little flag went back up on May the 14th and May the 15th, and they said, 1948, we are a nation again. Ladies and gentlemen, we just celebrated this week the 60th anniversary of that happening this past Thursday. You probably saw it on the news. They got mad about our president was in Israel and gave a speech, and he's talking about not negotiating with terrorists, and they made it into some kind of political fight. And brother, he was absolutely right. What he said was right. You can't sit down across a table from them people that wants to blow your brains out. Let me tell you what Bin Laden said on this latest tape. You want me to tell you what Osama bin Laden has said? Listen, that one man, we can't even find him, and he's still calling the shots from somewhere over there. And bin Laden said this week, he said, are you listening? See, that land over there, God gave it to Israel. And they've tried to possess it all these years. And bin Laden said, well, we'll not give up one inch of Palestine as long as there's one true Muslim on earth. That's what he said. If you think we're going to sit down, smoke cigarettes, and drink coffee with him and say, shake hands, let's all get along, you're crazy. Our politician, brother, they are committed to wiping out the nation of Israel. They said, we're not going to give up one inch of that land as long as there's one true Muslim on earth. Let me tell you tonight, the Muslim faith is committed, brother, to possessing that land that God gives to Israel. I'm going to tell you something. This book says it. You can have all the peace talk you want to have. You can sit down and go candy suckers together. But, brother, all hell's fixing to break loose over there. That Middle East, we call it the Great Tribulation. That Bible said it's a time like the world never had seen before or ever would see again. When the Lord calls us out, it's going to get bad over there. And brother, we see it swirling like a big boiling pot right now. You know what's happened since 1948? They had the Suez, where they had the Arab-Israel War in 1948. They had the big war over the Suez Canal in 1956. They had the famous Six-Day War in 1967. They could not believe. They said it was the shortest war in history because somebody up there was fighting for Israel. Six-Day War. They had the Yom Kippur War of 1973. And they said the Six-Day War only lasted from June the 5th to the 10th. They couldn't believe it. Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and every one of them around there was defeated by one little tiny group of people. God said in the Bible, he said, I'll defend Israel like birds flying. I got some big fighter jets coming in there, brother. God said, I'll defend Israel like birds flying. And boy, here come them birds in there. And God drove back the enemy. That's the Jews. Thank God they're returning to their homeland. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Hitler killed 6 million of them in the Holocaust. Some of our liberal college professors are trying to deny that even happened, but it's a fact of history. They hated them. They still hate them tonight. And they're the most hated group of people on this earth in the physical sense, the Jews. You know what God's saying? You know where we're at on God's time clock according to the Jews? We're ready for the end. They're going back to the homeland by the tens of thousands. And getting it, they want to rebuild that temple. And there's nothing that says that that temple has to be built before the rapture. All they have to do is the rapture has to come. They can build that temple in less than 3.5 years. When they're going to start needing it, they have rabbi schools now where they're teaching young men how to sacrifice exactly like the Old Testament taught. And brother, they're training them young men. They're going to reinstitute the Old Testament sacrifices. They're going to be giving them for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to make the abomination of desolation. That means where he comes in, he sits down, he makes the sacrifices cease, he makes everybody put a mark on their hand and says, worship me. The Jews said, you're a fake. God said not to put no marks on our hand. You can't be the Messiah. You're really not him. They flee out to the Red Rock city of Petra out there where God rains down manna from heaven and feeds them 3.5 years just like he did in the Old Testament until they wait for the Savior in Revelation 19:11 where it said, heaven open and a white horse come, brother, and here comes him. We're behind him like this coming down, and we're coming to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Getting ahead of myself, but that is the forecast, thank God. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, this thing's fixing to wind up. I sort of like what Dr. Ruckman said. He said, let's all go vote for the worst man. It might trigger the rapture. Woo! Amen! It's exciting time to be a Christian. The Jews. Secondly tonight, let's look at the Gentiles. I can talk all night about that. Let's look at the Gentiles. Gentiles are everybody that ain't a Jew, but ain't saved. A Jew's got to come from Abraham, and a Gentile, anybody that ain't a Jew, that ain't saved. Jew or Gentile who's saved is a part of the church. There's neither Jew or Gentile in Christ. We're all Christians. So, let's talk about Gentiles. This is all the people who are not Jews and not saved. Amen? It's just Japanese, Chinese, Africans, Englishmen, the Muslims. The Muslim faith is not just another religion. These politicians are on TV trying to tell us that one religion is the same as the other. They're trying to equate Christianity and Islam. They're saying, now listen, we should be nice to these people because they grew up believing that, we grew up believing this, they all lead to the same God. Not so. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a war going on in this world right now. If Allah is God and Muhammad was his prophet, the Muslims are right and we're wrong. If Jesus is God's son and Jehovah's God, and Jesus is the only way to heaven, then Christians are right and Muslims are wrong. But they cannot both be right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if a Muslim don't recognize Jesus Christ, he cannot get to God. Can't do it. Can't do it. You say that's divisive speech. Absolutely, I assure you. Jesus said, I came not to bring peace but a sword. You say that's inflammatory remarks. Absolutely, brother. There's wars going on over that kind of talk right now. But I'm telling you, somebody's wrong. And I know who it is. Brother, the Gentiles. What's going on with the Gentiles tonight? Well, this thing about oil, it's got something to do with Jews and Gentiles. It's no accident all that oil's over there. You know what I heard this week? Them talking on the news made me mad as fire. You can't believe everything you hear on the news. And I've told y'all all along, if you want to know who to vote for, you look at who the media is pushing. The mainstream media, especially the CNN network, CNN, you look who they paint in a good light and then vote for the other person and you'll never be wrong one time. They are always for the wrong anti-biblical person every time. And you know what they said this week? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. They said, we have enough oil. America, we have enough oil in our states, including Alaska, to solve our oil problems and to bring the price of gas down. But the reason we can't do it is the environmental movement has blocked it so that we can worry more about a tree or some leaves or a frog or an owl. They say, well, we got it. You know what they ought to say? They say, well, what about the next generation? There ain't going to be no next generation. Jesus said this generation, we ought to dig the hole and bring it down to 57 gallons and just go for the glory of God. You know why? The Lord knew this was going to happen like this. Say amen right there. That's right, brother. That makes me want to go set fire to all the forest. You know, every one of us ought to buy a big can of aerosol spray and on Earth Day just go out and go shh and pollute the environment. Them ignorant things are worried about a lizard. Amen? Them politicians, they don't have to pay for gas. Their salary comes from us. Lord have mercy. The Gentiles. What's going on outside with the Gentiles tonight? This week. Listen, we're talking about God's time clock. The 60th anniversary of the nation of Israel. 60. Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Now, there's two or three ways of looking at that. If the generation started in 1948, a generation in the Bible can run up to 100 years. Sure can. It ain't always 40. It can be on up to 100. But if you look at it the other way, Israel did not completely become free until 1967. And of course, if 40 from that would be 2007. The year we just came out of. But 60 would be 60% of 100. And if the other day, the strangest thing happened. They were over there rejoicing, and right out of the clear blue, with no warning, let me tell you what the Gentiles did. I don't believe it's an accident. I don't believe it was just a coincidence. On the 60th anniversary of Israel becoming a nation, God's time clock, they stood in the streets of California and shouted and rejoiced. They legalized homosexual marriages. That is not an accident. I was sitting there saying, dear God, are you coming this week? I said, Lord, this thing's about over. You know, most people just sit there and say, oh, well, that's the way they have a right. I would not, some Christians ain't ignorant enough to say, well, as long as, I heard one Christian the other day said, as long as they don't bother me, I don't bother them. Listen, brother, listen, God, there's always been that sin. I'm not trying to say we're so righteous and everybody's wicked, but I'm telling you, when the state and the country puts their approval on that sin, that's what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God burned it to the ground. He hates that sin. Listen, girls, you girls, listen. It's wrong for you to like another girl. It's wrong. It's wicked. It's bad. You boys, it's wrong. I don't care what they do on MTV. It's wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. You say, well, I find myself attracted. Well, unfind yourself. Get in the boulder. I get it wrong with God. God will curse that kind of activity. Amen right there. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mean. Ready? We got to get it right. Got to get it right. God burned cities to the ground for that. That's what the Gentiles are doing tonight. They were shouting. They were going, ah! Just like we do in church about being saved. And when I seen them shouting, what was weird looking, these businessmen. Two businessmen were out there hugging. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's awful for two girls, but it makes more sense than two guys. It's both awful. But Lord, have mercy, how a man could like a leather bony-legged, not-needs, self-egotistical, conceited man is beyond me. Girls wouldn't even like us if they had a choice. Ain't that right, ladies? If there was anybody else, they'd like them. I'm telling you tonight, that's what the Gentiles are doing. And you know what they come on TV and said, and it scared me? They said, as California goes, so goes the nation.
Right.
Well, say it, the largest state in the country, not air population-wise. They said, as California goes, ladies and gentlemen, it's only a matter of time. It starts in California, and it comes this way. You say, well, Brother Danny, people have a right. That's true. People have a right to do whatever they want to. But when our states sanction it, that puts us into a whole nother level with God. God's always blessed America because we've stood basically for the principles of right and wrong. Now, you say, well, anybody ought to be able to marry anybody. Well, then don't bug the polygamist out in Texas then. What about a man wanting to marry his dog? I'll come next. I heard Madonna got married. I don't know. Listen, the Gentiles. What's the outcome? The wicked will be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's the outcome of the Gentile. We also heard this week, do you think it's an accident? The earthquake in China? I don't know if anybody's heard the news today. Last I heard, over 40,000, 30,000, possibly up to 50, with 10,000 people buried. There was only 3,000 killed on 9/11. Look how it tore this country up. They're almost 10 times that, with 10,000 still buried. My Lord. My Lord. Look what's happening to the Gentiles. God said there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. And that happened this week. I'm scared for our country. I'm scared for Shining Light Baptist Church. Some of us need to quit playing around. Some of you need to quit just fooling around on God. It's time we all got right with God. Bring me a third thing tonight, the church. We've talked about the Jews. We talked about the Gentile. What about the church? We really ain't got a whole lot of right to be pointing our finger much at nobody.
That's right.
Lord, God, we're so backslid in most churches tonight. Brother, you couldn't get a spiritual grunt. I mean, Lord, ain't enough power in most churches tonight to blow a spiritual booger out of their nose. I'm telling you tonight, it's a sad day. Anybody, you know who the church is? Anybody who's a Jew or a Gentile who has been born again. The church is the church is characterized by purity. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart. We're not better than nobody else, but there's supposed to be a difference in us. You young people that go to school, there's supposed to be a difference in you. You young men, your kids all sign up here, you're supposed to act different at school. You're supposed to be different at school. You're not supposed to go along with every little sinful thing they go on. You people at work, they ought to be able to tell you're a Christian at work. You ought not to do things that make them doubt you at work. There ought to be some purity in Christians tonight. Brother, if they don't see it in us, they ain't going to see it. And did you know tonight most churches are preaching a feel-good gospel of everything I'm all right, you're all right. Let's just keep the crowd big and the money coming in. And they don't hear a lot about sin no more and righteousness and judgment to come. Somebody needs to take this thing serious. Hey, some of you people sitting right here tonight, you ain't been right with God in years. I can take my hand and lay it on your head. You still come to church, but it's been years since you've really been right. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you. A tragedy is going to come to your family, one of your kids, one of your husband, your why something's going to happen, and you'll be in this altar. Save yourself some trouble and get it right tonight.
Preach!
It's power. They ought to have power to preach the gospel. They ought to have prayer. They ought to pray. Christians ought to pray. Hear God in heaven tonight. If Christians don't pray, nobody else sure ain't going to. If we don't raise up a standard, nobody else sure will. If we don't stand for the truth, the world sure ain't going to. Listen, personal work. Are you witnessing at work? Are you being a testimony for Jesus on the job? Have you talked to that boss man? Have you talked to that person you work beside? Come on now, Christians. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, brother, listen, it's a sad day. I talked to a young man the other day. He's been to church here several times. I don't even know his name. I run into him in the store. And I said, "Did you come to church Sunday?" He said, "I don't know." And he had a young lady with him. And I started trying to witness her. And I said, "You know, the Lord's coming soon." And this young man looked back at me and he said, "Oh, don't talk like that. I'm really enjoying my life right now." I said, "What? That's about as dumb a thing as I've heard anybody say in a long time." He said, "I don't want the Lord to come back. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to..." Listen. Do you honestly think that it can be better down here than it's going to be in heaven? People, where is your brain? Lord, I don't care, married, single, rich, poor, living on top of the world. You're going to have problems and burdens down here. It ain't never going to be all right down here. Lord of God, brother, best thing to happen for us tonight would be for the trumpet to sound. Heck with the new church. Who cares about it, brother? I'd rather go to heaven tonight and live with that forever and ever and ever. It'll be great when we get there. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Never mind the new church. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want the Lord to come back." You've lost your mind.
Yeah.
You honestly think heaven can't be better than this? Lord have mercy. You say, "Well, what are we going to do up there?" I don't know. But it'll be better than what we're doing here. You can mark up down. I know one thing, there'll be no burdens. Be no bills to pay. You won't have to work. You can eat anything you want to eat. Enjoy the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Be like plugged into 220, 24 hours a day. Never have no kind of unsatisfactory feeling. Everything will just be perfect all the time. Hallelujah, brother. That's where the church is headed. Sooner the better, amen. Sooner the better. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, you can get people out. Listen, I've had several people ask me about a softball team. I don't mind having softball. If you don't want to play softball, I don't care. But you know what gripes fire to me? Y'all come out here 2 or 3 nights to play softball every week, and you will not help us visit on Saturday morning. You will not. You just won't. And all God's people said, "I don't care if you play softball. I don't care if we play basketball. But I'm telling you, we ought to care about the church." I guarantee if we had a softball team, you guys could make it 2 or 3 nights a week. Guarantee it. Don't sit there and say, "Well, you would." You'd arrange your schedule. You'd do it. But I said, "We're going to go visiting Thursday night." You just can't make it. You know why? Because your heart ain't where it needs to be with the Lord. Go ahead and say this. I mentioned it last Sunday. We'll go ahead and just nail this down right quick. When we move in the new church, I ain't heard nobody say this, so don't say, "Well, you, I didn't, nobody told me this," but just in case, I know the devil, he's going to say, "Now, guys, it's higher than it's ever been, and you just can't drive that extra 4 miles. It's too much, costs too much. Well, let's do a little figuring here tonight. The new church will be 5 miles maximum for any of us. It'll be closer for many, but I don't believe anybody in here would be 5 miles further unless it would be somebody like Roger Maness or anybody that lives in that direction right over there. Everybody else, no more than 5 miles. If you get 20 miles to a gallon, some cars get 15, some get 25. Some get 30. Some get 14, 15. Average, 20. If you get 20 miles to a gallon and you drive 5 miles, that's 1/4 of a gallon, about 85 cents it's going to cost you extra. Don't you let the devil tell you that you can't afford gas to go to the new church.
Amen.
85 cents. That's $1.70. 85 cents. And if gas goes to $4, you might be spending $2 more. You say, "Brother Danny, that's $2 more. Well, let's eat at Hardee's that Sunday instead of the steakhouse, and you can save that money. Or pack your lunch.
Yeah. Been there, done.
Daddy said people do what they want to do. If you want to come, you'll be there. And if you don't want to come, you'll make up an excuse. And you say, well, Brother Danny, I just can't afford it. Anybody coming that way, meet me at the Nebo truck stop and I'll pick you up and it won't cost you nothing. Anybody coming that way, we got people coming that direction. Anybody coming, we'll carpool. Listen, we can't, how much do we, what kind of church are we? I can't believe that we'd let $2 a Sunday stop us from meeting to worship God. Goody patters have went up. They was, anybody remember that 50 pack in Walmart? They was $3.26. Now they're $5. I'm not going to say, I'm never going to buy another one. I mean, we have to have them to live. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, we pay what everything else costs. Ain't that right? Don't you ladies pay more? So listen, y'all ladies spend enough money on your fingernails to buy your gas to come to church. Amen? Y'all spend enough money at the tanning bed or at the beauty salon. I'm not saying all that's wrong. Brother, I don't care if you let new tattoo your eyeballs on. Have at it. I don't care. I'm just saying, brother, listen, $2 more for gas ain't going to kill us. Say amen. Amen. Ain't going to kill us. I can get 17 in my Forerunner. People. I've had 11 in there before. I know it's sad when people in other countries will walk for miles,
yes,
and sit on wooden benches and fight flies and everything else and fuss because you don't preach but 2 hours, and we're sitting here in America spoiled rotten.
Right.
And brother, it'll rain 3 drops or a ball game's coming on and we just don't even go to church anymore.
Preach, that's good preaching.
I'm scared for us.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm scared for us. I'm scared God's going to judge us. I'm not talking about just shining a light. I'm talking about the church. I don't know if we're going to get out of here scot-free. I'm scared. I'm scared for the Jews. I'm scared for the Gentiles. I'm scared for the church. God's time clock. I'm telling you tonight, some of you folks don't quit playing church, you're going to wind up in the divorce court. You're going to wind up with your kids on drugs. You're going to come in and say, pray for my kid who got on drugs. I said, I told you 1,000 times, bring them on Wednesday night. Get them in there in Bible study. Get them in there. Let them take them to camp. Get them in there. I'm telling you tonight, if we don't start taking it serious, their chicken's going to come home to roost one of these days.
Amen.
You better get them in everything you can get them in. Be a part. Don't you? You say, well, I'm tired on Wednesday night. Come anyway. Every person here tonight that don't work second shift ought to be here Wednesday night, and you know it.
Yes, truly.
Some of y'all plan out 3 days ahead of time. You're going to lay out Wednesday night. Well, I got to work. Well, so what? I've worked third shift, went to church on Sunday night. I've worked double shifts. Went in at 3 o'clock, worked till 7 the next morning, and then went up somewhere and preached revival. It ain't going to kill you. And I'm not stupid. I know if you're a policeman or you're a nurse or you have a job. I understand. I'm not fussing at you unless you need to be fussed at. The church. The next earth-shaking event on God's clock is the rapture. We've seen things happen this week that lets me know we're closer than we've ever been before. I don't know how many services we'll get to have over at the new church. We may not get to have it. You say, we done all that work for nothing. That's all right. It wasn't in vain.
Amen.
Listen, I guarantee you that sign's put 50,000 people under conviction already. Guarantee it. And the sign you see sitting out there, I had this old boy over here at the flea market make them for me, and his shop's down Newton. And I was telling him about it. He said, oh, yeah, I saw your sign. Said, every time we go by there. Listen, it's not in vain. Our labor's not in vain. When you give money to the church, it ain't wasted. When you pray, it's not a waste of time. Let's get our confidence back. Let's get back. You know where we fit in this? We're the church. We're not Jews. We're not Gentiles. We're the church of God. Let's get ready, because God's clock's about ready to tick. Let's stand.